love and affection, to have good relationships. This is the message, the foundation of Islam. This is the message of the foundation of Islam. Whether it's the society around us, whether it's at home, the family, household, people staying together, people staying separately, not living together, family, friends, everywhere around us, Islam's message is that there should be love between people. Love between people. But it's obvious that next to the flowers, there are the thorns and the nettles. If we have love, then there's enmity as well nearby. And when we look at enmity, disagreement between people, then we know that إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Verily, Satan, what's his job? Wherever there are two people or more, he will instill such whispering into their ears, hearts, such misconceptions that they will be opposite to each other or become enemies of each other. Verily, Shaitan is always ready to stir up discord between men, Allah says. But enmity is not a good thing. Enmity is a bad thing, and Islam doesn't like enmity. And totally it doesn't like enmity, that there's enmity between men, people, etc. Because enmity is the message of Shaytan, and the Quran tells us this clearly. So if there's enmity, then what will be the result? What will be the end point? That then one person will say bad to the other. He will talk bad about the other person or backbite about that person, ending up in Jahannam. If you slander, end up in Jahannam, hellfire. If you have envy and hatred based on enmity, that will end up in Jahannam, hellfire. Then if a person speaks nonsense about the other person, bawtan, slander, end up in hellfire. In other words, enmity results in actions that lead to sin and punishment. So one Muslim, this is not his role that he should have enmity with other people, wasting time having enmity with other people. There are so many losses with regards to the Akhirah if we have enmity with others. Islam doesn't even like that in our hearts we harbor enmity against others. Because if we harbor it in our hearts, we'll keep thinking about it, we'll ponder over it, we'll keep on casting our minds towards that enmity in the heart. And then obviously, if your mind and your thoughts are constantly on that point, then your actions, there will be restrictions, there will be obstacles for you to do good, and your spiritual improvement and progress will get spoilt. It will be restricted. And to this extent that you won't enjoy your ibadat, your worship, it won't stay on a good level, it won't be good quality ibadat. And all of the matters of that person then get spoilt due to harboring enmity in the heart. So, Islam, the guidance in Islam with regards to enmity, opposite to this is aman, peace, muhabbat, love. And Islam likes an environment where there's love between people, love is being communicated, people giving up things for themselves, for other people, helping other people. If we want to see the example of this, then we just go back to the initial days of Islam, where we learn all of the lessons of how we should be. When the Muhajireen migrated from Mecca and arrived to Medina, and the Ansar were waiting in Medina, and obviously the Muhajireen had nothing to their name. But such an example was established that until today and further from today, such an example will not be able to be met. You cannot see any example that compares with regards to sacrifice, and never will another example like this come, it looks as if, until Qiyamah. In other words, the Ansar received the Muhajireen in such a way, they presented such love and such regard and affection and care. They didn't have a relationship in terms of blood. They weren't blood brothers. The Muhajireen came from far. The Ansar lived very far away. They hadn't met each other, seen each other, heard about each other before that. So what did the Ansar say? That I'll give you half of my house. I'll give you half of my business. If I've got a shop in a market, I'll give you half of that. If I've got land, I'll give you half of my land. And they offered this respectfully, that we will give you half. And if we have servants, we'll give you half. We'll share half, half. You take half, I'll half. To this extent that if somebody had two wives, he said, he also said, then you can have my one wife and I will keep the other wife. Subhanallah. So this example Islam has given about ma'ashara, society, sukoon, peace, ma'ashara, such examples. Where do we see this? Where? And this was the initiation of Islam. It was told and informed that every Muslim always in his life should live like this. The Islamic society should always be like this. There should be no plus or minus from this. There should be passion and desire and sacrificing your desires for others, to assist other people if they're in difficulty, to take less yourself and give more to others, etc. So this is an important factor. We know what day and age we're passing by through, generation. How are we? How are others? Where is there love between us? Is there love between us? And just over minor matters, we become enemies with each other. On every little matter, we start arguing and quarreling. But a person who's like this will not be successful on the Day of Judgment, in the hereafter. Such a person's worship, Allah Ta'ala won't accept. Allah Ta'ala won't accept. So again, Ramadan is coming to refresh us on this point. Remember Ramadan, as I said before, Ramadan, it makes us revise and re-look and understand all of the subjects of Islam. And Islam is telling us that love is the pillar of Islam. And if you don't have love in your life, in your everyday life, and your platform is enmity, then Ramadan tells us, change yourself, otherwise you'll be wretched on the Day of Judgment. Dalil. There'll be dalala, and you will not be able to attain Allah's pleasure if we sow enmity in society amongst ourselves. And Ramadan tells us the method. What a unique tariqah method that the fast has taught us of how to spread love amongst people. Subhanallah. Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, man fatara sa'ima. Now this is the tariqah, the method of spreading love, that if you assist someone to break the fast, offer food to break the fast, subhanAllah. Now here, if we look at the logic and the hikmah here, that why has this been told to us, that to break the fast of somebody who's fasting, in other words, to offer food at the time of breaking the fast to somebody. Now here, we need to think that such logic and wisdom is included in this action. That if somebody is very thirsty, let's take yourself. Just take yourself as an example. You're hungry, you're thirsty, and there's extreme need at that time. You're hungry and thirsty. And let's say somebody is against you, your enemy, who you have bad thoughts in your heart against. You don't like that person, and that person's in front of you. And he presents food to you. He presents a nice drink to you. And after drinking, eating, will the love increase or will enmity increase? Obviously, the love will increase, won't it? The love will increase. So at some stage, love will creep into that relationship. If, for example, against that person in your heart, you have hatred or malice, or there's some friction, then that will be eliminated and you'll be forced to think, oh, this person's good. This person's nice. He's not that bad after all. So Ramadan reminds us of the subject that the best cure for enmity in society, the best cure. Just like if you assist someone with food or drink to break the fast, and that person appreciates your help and your gesture of your token gest and your gesture of kindness, then obviously he will like what you did, and maybe he will be forced to do dua for you. Maybe he'll be forced to ask Allah for maghfirah for you. And for this job that Allah Ta'ala tells us, do this in the month of fasting or whilst you're fasting. Obviously in fasting, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has put a very big, you could say this is a style or method. This is ajeeb sunnat-e-ilahi. Allah Ta'ala knows our nature, that people without greed or people without an offer of something won't move. So in order to correct us totally, Allah Ta'ala in Ramadan has said that there are very big rewards for actions in terms of assisting others. That in other months we may not do this, but Allah Ta'ala says due to the greed of reward, they will carry out this action, and inshallah they will get habitual of this action in Ramadan, so they will continue this after Ramadan. So to do this action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given very big rewards for these actions, for this type of action. Big rewards. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man fattara sa'ima. That whoever breaks the fast of another person, whoever offers meal for the breaking of the fast of another person, كَانَ لَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ مَغْفُرَةَ بِذُنُوبِهِ. Allah Ta'ala forgives all of that person's sins. SubhanAllah. Such a big point here. Because this is a very big cure through the food. That today if I get a habit and I break the offer meal for the breaking of the fast of the person, or if I get a habit that I offer food and drink to somebody, I invite people to a meal, and especially I understand this now, what is the logic here? That if I from my heart want to wash away the impurities of my heart, the hasad, the envy, or I want another person's impurity or hasad or hatred to be removed, then I should invite that person for food, because I want to cure myself and him. And I want to remove the enmity from ourselves. And the hasad and the hatred and the kina will not come out of the heart. But there definitely will be a benefit, because this is the cure that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed. SubhanAllah. So this is not a normal thing, that this is the cure that Allah Ta'ala has given. And Allah Ta'ala's cure, which He has told us, the question doesn't arise that a person cannot get positive benefit. The question doesn't arise that if I want that kina to come out of my heart and hatred, if I'm weak in my heart and I get angry on things and I have enmity with this person and that person today in society, in ma'ashara, and alongside the enmity I know that Allah will not accept my ibadah, and I have hatred in my heart or hasad, and then it goes further beyond this and it ends up physical, and this is spoiling all of my ibadah, then what a great cure that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed to us due to the barakah of fasting, and Ramadan has come to revitalize us, re-energize us. So let's do away with the enmity. Let's eliminate the enmity that's destroying me spiritually, physically, as a Muslim, as a person, as a human being. So SubhanAllah, in normal days, Allah says, in normal days you should invite that person to a meal, give food, give drink, call him to yourself. And in that food, in that meal, there'll be so much barakah, blessing. Why? Because Allah has given us the cure. Allah has given us the cure that if you do this action, whenever you get an opportunity, you want to eliminate enmity, etc. So how should we initiate that? That we should give the invitation for a meal to that person who is against you, or you're against him, or there's enmity. So if we practice this, and inshallah have experience on this, then only those people can do this who want to do mujahidah, who want to do tazkiyah, who want to purify their hearts, do dhikr, who go to the friends of Allah, who spend their time in the khanqah, who want to make their hearts pure, their nafs pure, who 30, 40, 50, 60 years have passed, they don't know where they have gone. They've sat in the khanqah and they have khawf and fear, and they have worry that they want to meet Allah, and they want to be prepared when they meet Allah, and they are very afraid of Allah Ta'ala's displeasure, afraid. So such insan, this is a beautiful cure for such individuals, a beautiful cure. So now, what we need to see is that we are, for example, we've taken the khanqah, we are sat at the door of the khanqah, we have a link with the sheikh, we have a teacher who teaches us good things, we do dhikr, adhkar, we are completing all the mu'amulat that we've been given for our purification, tazkiyah. But we don't come towards this disease and illness. That how do we take this out of our lives? So fast prescribed to us teaches us the solution that despite all of the other actions of hunger, thirst and fast, if you want to control and eliminate enmity, then what you should do is create a relationship with that person who you're against and invite that person to a meal. Feed that person and love will spread, especially for the salikeen, those people on the journey to Allah Ta'ala. And it's a beautiful method. And the person who ignores this, oh, let the enmity continue, let the discord continue, doesn't matter what happens, oh, we'll bear with it. No, this will give an extreme loss. And this is the foundation message of Islam, as I said, to spread Islam, spread love. Spread good relations, cordial relations. Now, fasting month is passing, and if I've got hatred against other people or enmity, then I need to implement this solution for my betterment, for other people's betterment. And our enemy will become amazed, though he's inviting me to a meal, and he will make a face, he won't give an answer. And I say, but don't worry, because you are eliminating the enmity from your own heart. So Allah Ta'ala's fadl and grace that his enmity will also come out of his heart, because Allah Ta'ala has given us the cure to remove enmity and hatred. It's not a minor cure, it's a big cure. So don't consider this a minor. This mujahidah is not small. Allah said that there's a big ajr for this. Big ajr. That Allah says that if for your tazkiyah, for your purification, because Allah Ta'ala doesn't need us to feed others for Allah Ta'ala's betterment. No, it's for our betterment. Allah says, everything I prescribe to you as solution for the problem society, have my hikmah alongside it, my wisdom. So there's an ajr. Big reward. Allah says your sins will be forgiven. If you invite a fasting person to a meal to assist him in breaking the fast, first of all, your sins will be forgiven. And on top of that, the second big reward is that from the fire of Jahannam, you will be freed. You'll be freed from the fire of Jahannam. So it seems that Allah Ta'ala hasn't just kept this reward based on that food, such a big reward, but for this reason, that the human being is doing his tazkiyah and he wants to crush his desires, his evil thoughts. So Allah Ta'ala has given the reward based on this action. Because obviously it's hard to feed someone you don't like, or says bad about you, or hates you, or doesn't think good of you. It's difficult, isn't it, to call that person for a meal? So it's a mujahidah. You're struggling against your desires. You'll only go to those people to invite you to a meal that you like. But if you go to that person and say, look, I want you to come for food, I want to invite you. He says, no, I'm not coming. I don't want to come. Allah says, don't worry. Even if he makes you, disrespects you, dishonors you, but you bear with that, khalis, purely for the sake of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says, for that person's pleasure, I reward you that I will forgive all of your sins and you will be freed from the fire of hell. Two great rewards already. Oh, this is a big point. And the next point is a very big point. وَكَانَ لَهُ مِثْلَ أَجْرِهِ. This is a beautiful, unique point here. And Allah Ta'ala said, Rasulullah said, that the person who's fasting, who you are giving him a meal or food to break the fast, I will also give you reward through that person. Allahu Akbar. Imagine Allah says you'll get through. What is the ajr? That whatever reward he has earned, you also will get that reward. It will be given to you. What a great mujahidah. Imagine this action of assisting somebody to break the fast with food. What a big mujahidah. That very few people will have implemented this. I doubt it anyone has done this. I doubt. Because we don't pay attention to this, do we? Who gives attention to this sort of deed? Who explains this to us? That we don't think that this holds any weight in our eyes. But so many hikmahs and wisdoms Allah Ta'ala has hidden in these deeds. Allah Ta'ala says the sins will be removed. Person will be freed from hellfire. And the person we are feeding, whether he knows or not, Allah Ta'ala says all of his reward that he is getting and earned for the fast, Allah says, I will give that reward to you. I will also give you the same reward. Subhanallah, praise be to Allah. Imagine what great, great effects Allah Ta'ala has created in Ramadan. Great effects. And Allah Ta'ala said that he will be given thawab, you will be given that same thawab. But there's another point here Allah Ta'ala says, that even then what will happen? That person who you fed, and you fed that person, and you've attained the thawab of that person, but there will be no diminishing in any way of the recompense of that fasting person, of the reward of that fasting person. Allah says, غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَنْقُصُ مِنْ أَجْرِ السَّائِمِ. There is no diminishing, there's no reducing or reduction of the reward that person will earn himself, but you will get the same reward. Yes, you will. If you feed another person to break the fast, you will earn the same merit as the one who was observing the fast without diminishing in any way the recompense of that fasting person. So Allah Ta'ala, through this action, is creating a spiritual bond between those two people. That person may have been your enemy, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, this action creates a spiritual relationship that emanates from within, that you may have enmity with that person. So most definitely that person will change inside for this reason, that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has spiritually given that person the strength. So that person, he's got no reduction in his thawab, and his thawab is going to the person who's feeding him as well. And that person who's fed him, who's invited that person to break the fast, then spiritually that person, he's offering that person to eat. So both ruh, both souls are meeting. And when there's a spiritual link so strong, then will enmity stay? No, it won't. So brothers, this is the solution that Allah has prescribed. Can there be any negative in this? Any environment, any society, any principle, any law cannot give us a more beautiful way of eliminating enmity than this. But because we've not understood this, we've not felt this, and we don't desire to eliminate our enmity with other people, or we normally desire to break relationship, and if we think, oh, our fast is not good enough, then we don't pay attention to this solution, to this hadith, to this great method. The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions radiallahu anhum, when they heard this, they were, mashallah, people who had reached the heights, and suddenly they stood up and they were alert, and they said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you've given us this solution to feed somebody, but Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't have any food to eat myself, how can I give to someone else to break the fast? But subhanAllah, that was such a jama, there was no drama, that they heard something and thought, okay, it's come from Allah, we'll see about it in the future if we can do it. No, they wanted to take heed, they wanted to take advantage. They could have said, I don't hate anyone, or we don't have enmity with anybody. No, they never thought that they were perfect, or they're walis of Allah, or they've reached the heights, or I'm an alim, or I'm a muhaddith. What need do I have to do tazkiyah? I don't need to go to a person in a khanka, taka, person who's not worth anything, and do dhikr with him. No, I'll be dishonored, disrespected. I've got knowledge, ilm. People say you're a master, you're a muhaddith, and you've gone after a person who doesn't even have knowledge, and you're sat in his khanka, he's not even known in the world. What are you doing learning from that person? Spirituality, this is what we have today. Ego and kibbar and pride. We don't want to lower our so-called status, and shaitan in every way will drag people into jam. Not just one sector of people, he attacks all sectors. All sectors of society, he's working on everyone. Why should I go? I don't ever need to do tazkiyah, purify myself. I'm forgiven, alhamdulillah, I'm doing this and that. Is this a small thing? Is this not tazkiyah? People say, is this not tazkiyah that I'm doing? I'm teaching hadith, I've got knowledge. And is this not dhikr what I'm doing? I recite and I go to another. Is he an alim? Is he a scholar? That sheikh, I have to go to him for tazkiyah. Is he an alim? Like me? I have to go to him and learn tazkiyah and crushing the desires and purifying the soul. I'm an alim already. I've got knowledge already. But no, the sahaba were great. And whose example did Allah give? The sahaba ikram, the noble companions. And there could be no greater man today, until today, than the sahaba. Each sahabi, they had done tazkiyah, purification. They were muttaqi. And their tazkiyah, subhanallah. How did they purify? We go to a sheikh to get tazkiyah. And they went to the Imam ul-Anbiya, the master of the Prophet ﷺ, to get their tazkiyah. So when we go to a sheikh, wali of Allah, a person who can teach us tazkiyah, subhanAllah. And it takes us our whole life, 40, 50 years to do tazkiyah. And the sahaba, that sahabi hadn't even arrived to the company of Rasulullah, hadn't even seen him. Within a split second, the tazkiyah had been performed. And Allah says, until qiyamah, no one can compare to that action of that sahabi, to their deeds. SubhanAllah. So one thing is proven here, is that nazar, vision, sight is also something that has strength. Sohbat, company, is also a solution to become a human being, to do tazkiyah. Sohbat, company of a sheikh, gives a solution. So Allah Ta'ala starts from here. Allah says the tazkiyah of a human being starts from here. That as long as we don't go to that society, if we don't go to that maqam, if Allah Ta'ala likes that person, he's beloved to somebody, Allah Ta'ala will create such nur in the heart of that person. That nur will be in the heart of that person, that whoever goes to him and looks at his face with that niyyah that he wants to solve him his problems and become good, then inshallah he will not leave empty-handed. He cannot leave empty-handed. He cannot. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this will continue till qiyamah. Doesn't matter how much people talk, but the person who wants to be corrected, doesn't matter who he is, however he is, wherever he is in society, but he will have to go to a pious person and stay in his company in sohbat to learn, improve, and do his own tazkiyah. There's no other way of doing tazkiyah, and we are doing this. Alhamdulillah, we are doing the same. We are pure. I'm clean. How do I know how many deficiencies I've got? I've never gone in front of the mirror to see my dirt. And have I stood in front of the mirror to see, is my turban worn nicely? Is it balanced? Have I trimmed my moustache nicely? Am I looking nice? You have to go in front of the mirror, isn't it? So Mia, why do we say with pride that I've already achieved and accomplished it? For Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the solution, and due to which method all of the sahaba became the sahaba, from Sadiq to the final sahabi. All of the companions became sahabi due to sohbat. No companion was made what he was without sohbat, the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's a maqam, yes, of ishq, of love. There was an individual who had a high status after the sahaba from the tabi'in, that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, were told and sent to see him. Although he was an sahabi, such an individual who had love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he lived at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he wasn't a sahabi. But despite having so much love, and imagine his love was so great that he realized that in Uhud, the one tooth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam broke, that he had so much love that all of his teeth were broken. He broke his teeth. This is easy to say. One tooth, it shakes and it gives pain. With a stone or rock, he had knocked out all of his teeth, and he had so much ishq and love. Despite all of this love, that nazar, that blessed sight, he couldn't come and he couldn't get included in that blessed vision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he wasn't a sahabi, but he had such a maqam. Has Umar radiallahu anhu, has Ali karamallahu wajh radiallahu anhu. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to these two great sahabis, that go to him and ask him to do dua for my ummah, but he could not become a sahabi. He was a tabi, second generation. Why? Because his tazkiyah is achieved through sohbat. So if we don't pick up the shoes of the sheikh, then tazkiyah will not be attained. In other words, if we don't have the company of a sheikh, we can't do tazkiyah. And they had to have the niyyah, the intention. So a sahabi who had the niyyah, the intention, he went with the right intention and he became the student, the sahabi. So only that murid can do the tazkiyah, that from the first day he has the desire to improve himself, not to decrease himself. So the person runs away and he lacks the muhabbat, the conviction that he cannot gain. So all of this, my brothers, this silsila has continued from there. And close to Allah, successful can only be that person. If Allah Ta'ala said, بِقَلْبٍ قَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, the person who comes to me, Allah says, with a clean heart, with a pure heart. That person who washes himself, bathes himself, purifies himself, clean, pure. That person who comes clean, Allah says to me, then that person, I will accept his salah, I will accept his umrah, I will accept his hajj, I will accept his tasbihat, his dhikr. That individual who has a qalbin salim, who washes, purifies, and we cannot wash ourselves, purify, we cannot polish ourselves, do ghusl anywhere. There's only one place to do ghusl, subhanallah. And where is that? A person should totally be detaching himself from his nafs and ego. And if a person takes himself to the company of the wali wala, the pious person who made this system that I'm explaining, and that system that we dislike, that only those people who dislike the system of Allah, who disagree with the Quran, who have pride, or why wasn't I made a Nabi, or wali wala, I was a chaudhry, where have those chaudhries gone? Where those people have gone? What is their hashar? What is their consequence of those people who had pride and kibar? So brothers, Allah Ta'ala has given us the methodology and the system. We say, no, no, I don't accept this system. I don't embrace this. This is extreme kibar, extreme pride. And the person who bows and who is disappointed in his heart that he doesn't have a solution to get close to Allah, but then he looks for a pious person. He says, I want to go into the company of a good person who will look at me with the glance of muhabbat. Then I must go there. And Allah will give the solution to the person. Let's look at the history of the pious predecessors. They weren't jahil. My Hazrat, Rahimullah, may Allah have mercy on him and may Allah instill his qabr with nur. My Shaykh. My Shaykh, I say that in that society, in that place where my Shaykh sat, in the company of my Shaykh, in that city, rather in that country at that time, there was no greater alim than Hazrat. My Shaykh, there was no greater mufti. The Khair al-Mudaris, all of the muftis of Khair al-Mudaris, Mufti Ani Azam, all of those people were bayah, they pledged allegiance at the hand of my Shaykh. There were great alims from that madrasa, from great institutes, because alhamdulillah my Shaykh had two forms of knowledge. He had the external knowledge and the spiritual knowledge. He had the knowledge of deen, Quran, hadith, everything. And he learned himself from a great place. He had such company when he learned knowledge. Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Ramadhani, my Shaykh, did his ziyarah. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, My Hazrat was his class fellow, and he learnt in the madrasa alongside Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, and had a great fortune for me that I did his ziyarah and I picked up his slippers and I sat in his company, and my Shaykh said, I love this person with regards to me, in front of everybody, until today whenever I go, then all of the jamaat, just on these words, they know that I was useless, I wasn't accomplished, I had no ilm, I had nothing, and that's the reality. I haven't got anything to my name. Nothing, not accomplished anything, just dunya, love of dunya. But on this one action, Hazrat made the announcement at that time. I remember that day, that gathering, the majma was a big gathering that day. There were a lot of people, there were a lot of muftis and scholars. And Mufti Abdul Sattar, Mufti Azam, Pakistan, Mufti Abdul Sattar Sahib, Rahimahullah, Khair al-Mudaris, head, Shaykh al-Hadith. And that time he was there, he came to see Hazrat, and he was given the hint. Hazrat directed him from his khulafa, he was from the khalifas of Hazrat. And Hazrat said, go, there's an Naqshbandi Shaykh sitting there, and go and attain faith. So Hazrat Abdul Sattar Sahib came to Hazrat's company. Imagine the spiritual gathering at that time. He had 70, 80 ulema scholars at that time, accomplished ulema. And he was a big mufti himself, 70, 80 ulama who were with him, who came to see Hazrat, my Shaykh. At that time, Hazrat pointed from the whole gathering, pointed towards me, this fakir, and I was sat in the corner, right at the back. And Hazrat gave the statement that this is my aziz, my dear, respected friend, and I love him. Imagine, was that a time to say this statement? But what this meant, Allah knows best, and Hazrat Sahab knows best what he meant by the statement. So brothers, anything, whatever occurs, my brothers, whatever occurs, where do we attain this from? This is attained from the slippers, the feet of the walis of Allah. This is where we attain these things from. So this tariqah, this method Allah Ta'ala has given to us, tazkiyah, purification, that if we want to take out the deficiencies, the impurities during the fasting month, then don't think that, oh, I'm fasting. No, it's very basic. That person should delve into himself, that I've got enmity against somebody, kina, malice, hatred, and the best way to remove it. The sahabi, they stood. He said, what shall I do? I have nothing to my name. And every type of person, they could have said, I can't do this, and I can't do my sohbat, I can't purify myself, etc. They didn't say that, did they? Or if a person who's fasting says, I can't feed somebody. So Allah Ta'ala has given us a great solution, because everyone has a need to do tazkiyah. Every individual has a need to do tazkiyah. And if we don't do tazkiyah, if we don't purify ourselves, then we cannot become accomplished or successful. There will be no qalbi salim. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, straight away, rahmatullahi alameen, he gave us the solution. And from his blessed lips, the flowers of the solution came out. And the sahaba said, okay, is this the solution? Rasulullah said, you don't have any food to feed anyone or anything to give to somebody to drink. Okay, even if you have a date, then that is enough. Even if you have a sip of water and you give to someone, that is enough. Even if you have the glass of yogurt drink, for example, that will be enough. But remember that you should have the desire. For example, you have the desire that you want to give the full meal, and you say, oh, no, I'll just give dates. No, according to your status and what you've got, feed the other people. This is just the start. Because the amount more sweet you instill into the dish, then the more nice effect it will have when people eat. So if you spend more, then there will be a good result. So if you want to bring a person who is against you onto your side, and you feed that person, then Allah says, then I'll put barakah into what you spend. If you've only got a date, and that's all you've got, and you feed that, give that to somebody else's food, and Allah says, I'll put the barakah into that meal. Don't think I've only got a date and I can't give to anyone else. Just give the date. That's enough. The meaning is that even from the date that you offer to somebody, I will make the enemy of yours happy. And that will affect that person's heart so positively. Just like that you invited a person to a massive meal and that person, he came onto your side, Allah says that he will also be embarrassed, that through your date and through that date, I will give the full effect to that person who you offered the meal to. Subhanallah, the hikmah and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers, who's given us this message? The fast has given us this message. Fasting month is refreshing and making us revise that how do we eliminate enmity, and how do we eliminate enmity from our society, that there should be no enmity in our environment, in society, in our homes, families. As I said, alongside the flowers, there are thorns and nettles on the same branch, etc. So in the house, if there's enmity, friction amongst the children and the wife, don't live like this. Because then all of the good points will be eliminated. Allah will not be happy. So why don't we solve these problems or crises at home? Give gifts to each other, hadiyah, give food, husband, wife, give to each other. Look, Allah Ta'ala says that the qulub, the hearts are in my control. So if everything's in Allah's control, that if we take a solution, then straight away Allah will put barakah into that solution. Isn't it? But to live with enmity and hatred, no. For a person who wants to be close to Allah, wali of Allah, and Allah wala, should never live like this. A person who says Allah, Allah does dhikr of Allah, then it should not be in his life that there's friction. He lives his life with enmity with this person, that person, that person. He should not go to sleep unless that dirt has come out of his heart. So why did that person think bad against me? Oh, you have to give me this much money. This much money. You didn't, is it? Okay, so if the money is not given, or he doesn't ask for forgiveness, or he doesn't clear that matter, that this is not the situation, that this is the house I'm speaking about, the family. The thing that is so sad, most sad of all, is the most important thing of relationship between husband and wife. This is a base foundation, and these are very spoiled nowadays. There's impurity, that the husband speaks with such disrespect to his wife. Oh, you, how dare you say this? Oh, you ashamed? Even people don't speak that bad against their workers, and husband speaks so bad and with disrespect and horribly against his wife. And there's such a bad relationship in our society nowadays between the husband and the wife, or husband to the wife, or wife to the husband, that there's no limit to the discord between the two. Tell me a woman, your wife, and she is fulfilling your rights, and she has to make food, she washes the dishes at home, she cleans the house, she fulfills your desires. And do you think she will have love in her heart for you when you treat her badly, horribly? If you want to go and get some stock from a warehouse and you bow down to that person, Assalamu alaikum, how are you? How are your children? You've got a nice car, you look good. Bye, because you want to take stock as a debt from that person. You want to take stock as a debt, as a loan. And you are running after that person. I know, I was a businessman, I ran my own business, and I saw how people would go to buy stock. People, they would say, oh, he comes and takes the stock and goes, he doesn't ask for it on a loan. I didn't need to run after that, the owner of the stock, because I would pay cash. I didn't take a loan from anyone, so I didn't need to beg to them or bow down to them. But I would stand in the corner and see that others, how they would exchange their greetings, etc. Why? Because it was all business foundation. Business, money, all for the sake of money. It wasn't for the sake of love. So now, if you're going to buy stock, a worldly transaction, business transaction, and you respect each other due to business, then look at the wife. There should be love between the husband and wife. But if you dishonor your wife, disrespect, but the time will come, the day will come, where she will take out the revenge on you. And the time will come, and then Allah Ta'ala assists her at that time. Never break somebody's heart. No, never can the hatred come out of the heart. But if you want to remove the hatred, then the time is here now, today. You can do this. Allah Ta'ala has given the solution. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala says that one fast, break the fast of that person with the food. So Allah Ta'ala says, create the relationships with your wife. Give her hadiyah, give her a gift, and meet her with the love and respect. Give her respect, give her honor. So if you love your parents and respect your parents, you should respect her parents. If your parents come and everything should be neat and tidy, and if her parents come, oh, they keep coming and disturbing us, oh, etc. No, you should not complain like this. So this is all Sufism. This is all purification. Tazkiyah. If we don't have this mahal and this environment in our homes, then you cannot be Sufi, I cannot be Sufi, we cannot be correct. That there should be no doubt or no complaint from the woman's mouth, from the wife's mouth. When you're departing from this world, she should be happy with you. And in the same way, vice versa for the wife. She also needs to attain something. There are rights of the husband upon the wife. But remember, there's no competition here. If the husband is rude, then the wife shouldn't say, oh, he's rude and I'm going to speak nicely to him. No, he is spoiled his Jannah. Then why are you spoiling your Jannah? You should complete your ibadah in the nice way, with the good principles for the radha of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. You do your ibadah correctly and let him go into Jahannam if he wants to. And remember this point, that in the akhirah there will be a loss of husbands. Allah Ta'ala has promised, Allah Ta'ala has promised that the pious women, their nikah will occur and thereafter with pious men. Some mulana will take your wife. He will take her. Remember this point. Some pious person, because the pious people are those mulanas and scholars, they will take your wife. So what will you do then? After your wife, she will have left you. She won't be with you. She'll say, he was rude and disrespectful. Allah, I don't want to be with him. Allah, give me my nikah to a pious person, a scholar, a mulana. So my brothers, here, it's better to struggle here and let's improve our society here. If we have bad society here, the children will fight and quarrel, argue. Always you have to speak to the children and swearing with the wife, and we call ourselves Chaudhry and Pais. I don't know what I consider. Well, who do I think I am? Who do I think I am? I'm very high in status and regard, and I call the children, I'm swearing and ridiculing, and there's a heater at home, there's extreme high temperature, ajeeb mahal, ajeeb environment, that nobody speaks to each other, no one has regard to each other, for each other. So this is our Aam Ashara, common society, 99%. You see this in our homes. So my brothers, let's start from there, in our hearts. The fast teaches us that don't keep such a fast where there's discord and hatred and malice and disunity and opposition. No, call each other to a meal, feed others, break the fast with a meal and have love and muhabbat. So love increases and spreads. It's not necessary, for example, you love somebody. It's not necessary that there's enmity with everyone. Even if you love someone, if you want to increase that love, then also the action of feeding each other assists in that as well. Subhanallah. You want to increase the love between yourselves, or you see that there's love is lacking, but you need that person's love. It's important for you. It happens in the dunya, in the world. For example, you love someone, you like someone, you desire that that person has love for you also. Then Allah also has given this solution, that invite each other to a meal, and automatically the love will come into the heart. The love of that person will come into your heart. Automatically he will raise his hands for your dua, to do dua for you, and you will raise your hands to do dua for him. So this, who is telling us this? Who has refreshed this and reminded us about this? Ramadan, this is another message for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take out the keen and the hatred and the malice from our hearts and replace it with the love. Ameen.